The research of the University of Tennessee College of Law professor Maurice Stuckey is playing a role in the U.S. House Judiciary Committee's investigation into whether tech companies like Google, Apple, Facebook, and Amazon have too much power in the marketplace. Maurice Stuckey is here with us today. Is there anybody that doesn't think they have too much power?
Well, some of the tech platforms will argue that they face lots of competition. And so if you recall, after the Cambridge Analytica scandal, Mark Zuckerberg was asked, you know, who their competition was. And they said, well, we face lots of competition. And from some perspective, from their perspective, you can see why that's the case, because most of them started up in the last 15 years. They overcame traditional competitors that were in their space. And so they might think, yeah, they still face competition.
And so last week, the House Judiciary Committee's antitrust subcommittee wanted some input from you, right? Tell me how that came about.
Sure. So my colleague, Ariel Israqi, and I, we've written about big data and competition policy. And we were commissioned to do reports for the European Commission, the OECD, among others. And one of the things that we looked at were, what's the role of data in the new digital platform economy? And how is it that we now have a few of these giant platforms, GAFA, Google, Apple, Facebook, and Amazon, that dominate their respective areas? And what contributes to their power? Why are they so powerful? You know, why do they remain so powerful despite recent scandals? And what are the potential risks that they pose, even though their products and services are often ostensibly for free?
And when you and your colleague submitted this information, how did you approach this, thinking like, okay, we've really got to get this just right, right?
Right. So there have been sort of three phases of the debate. The first phase of the debate was, how does competition law intersect with privacy and consumer protection law? So how do these dominant platforms affect us in terms of competition, privacy, and the like? And is there any relationship among them? The second phase was where we identified the risk. We call them the dataopolies that they pose. And what they found is that these powerful platforms can be more pernicious than the old monopolies, because they can not only affect us in our wallets, but they can affect us in terms of our autonomy, our well-being, and our democracy. And now we're in the third phase. And the third phase is, what are we going to do about it? What are sort of the policy recommendations that we can employ so that we get the benefits from Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Apple while mitigating some of the risks?
In a way, I feel like the genie's a little bit out of the bottle. These guys are so big that what can you do that they can't beat you while you're trying to do it?
One of the good things is, you go back in history. In 1890, you had two concerns. One concern was the rise of the powerful company, like the Rockefellers, Standard Oil, and the like, right? And the other concern was by Justice Brandeis and his colleague Warren, that wrote a seminal article about the right to privacy. And at that point in time, there were technological innovations such as the camera and the newspaper. And that had an important impact on privacy. And the modern corporation at that time had an important impact on income inequality, on the power of the individual worker, and the like. And then Congress then passed the Sherman Act in 1890. And as a result of Brandeis and Warren's article, the courts began recognizing a common law right of privacy. So we're at another juncture like that today. We have these powerful platforms and the threat to privacy. And 3 years ago, if you interviewed me, I would have been pessimistic. But what we've seen in just the past few years are over 20 reports by different jurisdictions. I was just last week in Australia, and the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission had done a 600-page report on these powerful platforms. And they're proposing now a holistic regulatory change in their country to address these risks. And it's going to involve competition law, beefed up privacy law, consumer protection law, as well as laws to protect, let's say, artists and the like that may depend upon, and journalists that depend upon these powerful platforms. So the good news is you're seeing a lot of interest by policymakers. You're starting to see a lot of experimentation. And then Tennessee is right in the midst of it because our Tennessee State Attorney General's office is investigating both Facebook and Google currently. And some of my former students are working in that office, and they're well equipped because they're looking at the privacy as well as the antitrust implications.
And the Europeans have been all over this, right?
Oh, absolutely. And also, one of the things that's amazing is that one of the changes that have come about is from the youngest U.S. senator, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri. And he's proposed a do not track legislation that would basically give us the same rights as do not call. You know, there are some problems now with do not call currently, but that is one of the most popular legislative actions taken by the FTC. And what he's proposing is that if you say, I don't want to be tracked across the internet, then you have that right. And the company cannot collect data about you unless it's necessary. And one of the reasons that they can't use for being necessary is this sort of creepy surveillance advertising that's going on right now. And that, if that legislation passes, that would be a monumental breakthrough. And we also have the California Consumer Privacy Act that's going to take place in 2020. So there's I'm actually quite optimistic.
You teach a class at UT, competition law. I don't have a law background, but that sounds like a class I would love to take. Can you tell me what you cover in that class? What kind of students take it? What do they get out of it?
Oh, it's a great class, and I have great students. And in fact, that's where I'm heading to after this. We have a makeup session. And what we look at is competition law and what are sort of the economic, political, and social bases underlying competition law. And we look at it from an EU-US perspective. So the students get to see how do the US courts treat these types of restraints, how do the EU courts. And we basically look at three areas. First, agreement among competitors. Second, we look at actions by monopolies. What can monopolies do? What can't they do? And third, mergers. How is the merger law supposed to be enforced in order to protect these important political, social, and economic goals underlying the competition laws? And Tennessee has a rich tradition because the amendments to the one of the co-sponsors to the amendments of the competition law in after World War II was from Tennessee.
And law school itself is fairly competitive, is it not? I mean, for the students, I wonder if they see any parallels in what they're learning about in the larger world in their own sort of microcosm of competition between each other.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we discuss is that competition doesn't have a uniform definition, and competition doesn't necessarily have to be the cutthroat, zero-sum competition where my gain is your loss. In fact, what we point out in our forthcoming book, Competition Overdose, we can actually we can reorient competition to something nobler.
Your book comes out in March. I hope you will take a moment or two to stop by. I'd love to read the book and chat with you about it.
Certainly will.
Marie Stuckey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
This has been a production of WUOT. For Changing Course, I'm Todd Steed.